KYW News Radio Original Podcasts. From KYW News Radio 103.9 FM, this is Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you. Presented by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org.
Hello, I'm Raquel Williams. Welcome to Bridging Philly. There is power in numbers, and the organization Lift Every Voice Philly is a prime example of what happens when like-minded community members come together and demand change. The members of Lift Every Voice Philly organized parents and caregivers to advocate for children in Philadelphia schools. They join us to talk about their latest win and what happens when the power shifts back to our communities.
We are really wanting change for the entire district. We want all of our children to thrive.
And Charity Howard visits a new cafe run by two women while sipping on Indian tea.
A little love story between Philly and Delhi, which is where I'm from.
All that's coming up on Bridging Philly. School teachers have a very tough job, and of course they deserve the highest praise for all that they do, which includes disciplining children. Now we all know that kids will take a mile if you give them an inch, and they have to be reined in to focus on their lessons. But what was happening in some schools, such as denying bathroom breaks and recess time, it became problematic for some concerned parents, and they came together to lift their voices to do something about it. Lift Every Voice Philly is an organizing home for parents and caregivers committed to shifting power back to our communities and winning systemic change in our schools. By organizing with parents, they are shifting power, winning change, and reimagining what Philly schools should aspire to be. Joining me now are parent members Marissa Amos and Sarah Burgess. Welcome to Bridging Philly.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
All right. So, of course, you guys are recently in the news for some changes that came to Philadelphia schools, which is a big, big deal. And I think a lot of parents and some people that maybe didn't have kids in schools were really horrified to learn of some of the things that were going on. So I want to go back to, though, the moment that Lift Every Voice came together. What was happening when this organization was first formed and the moment that you all realized that Lift Every Voice needed to be an organization to do something about things happening in schools?
So we are a group of parents who have students in the school district. And a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, we started thinking that the way to really advocate for change had to happen at a bigger level than anything in any one particular school. We actually started by building chapters at our most unstable schools where there weren't strong HSA organizations or other groups that were really advocating. Mm-hmm. And because we knew those closest to the pain could have the biggest stories to tell about changes that would actually help our entire district. So we built a chapter at a school called Bryant in West Philly, and we started advocating to really lift up the fact that there weren't nurses in every school in the district. We were able to push for that change early on. And we saw the power of not just saying what's happening at Bryant, we need a nurse at Bryant, but actually when we started talking to other schools, they were also facing similar shortages. So we started realizing that together, building beyond any individual issues, we could make changes that could then ripple out over the entire district.
Sure, sure.
And that's a commitment that Lift Every Voice has had from the beginning, is we are not fighting for our children at our schools. We are really wanting change for the entire district. We want all of our children to be successful and to thrive.
All 115,000 of them.
There you go. So I'm just surprised to learn that every school doesn't have a nurse, didn't have a nurse. Like, I just thought that was just automatic, right?
Right.
You would assume so because it's a nurse, like a teacher, is needed throughout the school day. And for instance, our school does have a nurse, but it's shared among it's a co-located school. And so finding out that other schools don't have it at all or they share across the district is not a great wellness policy. As Sarah had mentioned earlier, it's something basic that we think all schools should have as a part of their wellness and their joy.
Okay. So how long did it take for that particular change to start, to actually come about when you started to talk with other parents in the school district? At what point did you start to see the changes and more, you know, nurses in schools?
We actually won the nurse campaign really quickly.
Oh.
And that was an exciting early victory because it showed that sometimes it's just a matter of raising your voice and saying, we recognize this and we're pushing for this. And if you can find an ally or a supportive person inside the system, then change can happen pretty quickly. So we did see a relatively quick change on the nurse front. There is the follow-up, and we keep meeting with the district. We keep talking to them to keep the pressure up, to keep the spotlight on, to say, we're going to keep attending to this. But that was a pretty quick victory, unlike the Joy campaign, which has taken a lot more effort and a lot more organizing power and skill building to get across the finish line.
Okay, so I think that's great that you had some victory with the nurses. I can't imagine a traveling nurse from school to school. That's just, I didn't know. But as far as the group coming together, talk to me about how the founding members kind of came together. I guess you're just talking to different parents and you're talking to each other and you together said, let's band together and do something. How did that all happen?
Right. So our structure is that, again, like I said, we start at the schools where parents are experiencing the most pain. And we had organizers standing outside the schools, engaging with parents and saying, what's going on at your school? What are you experiencing? What are you worried about? What is happening for your young people inside? We started to build very much on the ground, person to person, community style. Let's get together and think what we can do about this at the school level. In those early meetings that were organized around chapters, we talked about shared values that still animate the organization, collective action, parents as experts, and other values that are really important to us. And we started to build the culture of the organization. From there, we expanded to include also at-large parents who are at more stable schools. I would describe the school where my child goes as a more stable school. It definitely has some resources, but we saw that sometimes you need all of the parents from whatever kind of school to be together advocating to really make the kind of change we want to see, because those changes impact all of the schools and grow all of them. So from those small school-based chapters, we built into a citywide organization that has parents united across class, race, and neighborhood to really be pushing for changes we want to see for all of our children.
Beautiful.
And I got involved from that angle. I knew one of the organizers at Lift Every Voice. She came and talked to me. She talked about this really exciting space we were building. I have a third grader. I got involved when my kid was a first grader. And I was a new parent in the district. I was really hoping that my kid was going to have a great experience. And I wanted to be part of something that was paying attention to that and pushing our school district to be the best that it could be for my kid and for everybody in the district.
Okay. And Marissa, how did you get involved?
So as a part of the outreach to parents, over 600 parents were talked to, surveyed, joined. Someone from Lift Every Voice was at my daughter's school. And I would say, too, that hers is more stable. But as a person who grew up in Southern New Jersey who did not know much about the Philadelphia School District and only hearing very bad things, I knew that being part of a community or a collective group would help make changes. And so someone just being outside and canvassing and talking about Lift Every Voice and the Joy campaign, because I do volunteer with my daughter's school. And I know that it's not perfect. It's great for us. And talking to other parents in the district and hearing their stories, it's like, we have to do something. We have a voice. And if I have a voice now, then my child in 2 years or even 2 days would have a voice too. And so I felt like this is something that I want to be a part of.
When you meet, when you come together and you're talking about the different concerns, I'm wondering what are some of the concerns that came up in some of the meetings when you were talking to parents initially, the nurse thing, of course, and of course, we'll get into, you know, the bathroom breaks and the wellness campaign that's happening. But what are some of the other concerns that you saw that were presenting themselves in these meetings?
So we had started with the survey. We surveyed 600 parents to develop this Joy campaign. And through that survey, we were hearing a lot of stories about how Joy was drained out of schools. We were hearing that students, As you kind of said, you know, kids were reporting they couldn't get water when they wanted to. They couldn't go to the bathroom when they wanted to. They didn't have recess all of the time, which we know from experiencing a kid coming home after she has or has not had recess can make a big difference.
Yes.
all of those kind of things that really allow a child to feel comfortable in her or his body and ready to learn weren't happening regularly. And that's what parents were telling us through the survey. And some of the leaders in our organizing meetings could also share from their experiences that that was happening. We heard about collective punishment. That is a common practice that we're really hoping shifts after this policy passes, where if one child does something wrong, the whole class gets punished for that. So a lot of people were losing out on these basic, basic ways of being that would allow them to engage in learning and also just to feel good in schools.
Right, right.
So to us, we could have said, we want there to be access to bathrooms. But what we know is what we see when our young people come home, we want to see that they're happy. Right. We want to see that they're joyful. We want to see that they're feeling good. And so we decided all of those things, bathroom, water, recess, punishment, they all fall under, let's just make this a place where young people can feel good, because we know that's the best feeling when your kid comes home and she's had a good day. You're just kind of excited for her. And so that's how we decided to pursue this joy campaign.
Yeah, I'm glad that you all came together to do this, because it's just unfathomable for your child to come home and go, yeah, we weren't allowed to go to the bathroom, or yeah, we weren't allowed to go outside for recess. And I'm like, oh, it was a beautiful day. Did you guys go out? No, so-and-so did something, so all of us had to stay in. To me, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And of course, it was obviously affecting, you know, their overall well-being, right?
I think the piggyback off of a point Sarah made earlier, the school district talks a lot about attendance and mm-hmm. truancy, or coming to school on time. But if your child is coming to school and there is no joy, or they can't do certain things like use the bathroom when needed, they cannot get a water break, or imagine a six-year-old sitting at a table for 2-3 hours without having a move break. That's very tough.
Yeah.
And so attendance increases, I believe, and when there is joy in school, when the recess is guaranteed, when there are no silent lunches, when they can take those move breaks. And that is a lot that I learned from us getting together and having these conversations, meetings. Children may not want to go to school mm-hmm. simply because of the joy, not another outside factor, but wanting to enjoy school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know that it can be hard
yes.
to have a group of young people in a space as a teacher, especially when you don't have all the resources you need, which is often the case in the School District of Philadelphia. I'm also an educator, and I've been on that side of the fence. And we know that some of these practices have come from lack of resources, mm-hmm. yeah. lack of professional development, norms that just were passed down from teachers before you that maybe are no longer ones that we want to uphold for our young people. So we feel very clear that this is not an issue of blaming teachers or saying that somehow right, right, teachers right, are doing right. the wrong thing.
Right.
No, this is a collective effort to say, we want to set these new norms. We want to have this new culture. And if that means we have to push the district for more resources to better develop our climate staff, to better support our climate staff, to make sure there are enough people to have recess all the time, to have good plans when it's raining outside and you need a great indoor recess program, we see that as part of the work that's going to develop out of saying, this is the standard. How do we all work together inside the district, outside the district, to make sure we can meet this?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know this is good for kids. And if we're falling short on that, then we as grownups need to figure that out. And we can. And it's not anybody's fault necessarily. We just want to say what our vision is and then help us all get there.
As you were talking about that fact that where nobody was blaming teachers at all, this is not a, okay, teachers are doing the wrong thing. Talk about the response that you were getting from teachers. I imagine that they were frustrated probably themselves.
Right. And we did engage with the PFT, the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers. Mm-hmm. We also engaged with members of the union who supports our climate staff, the staff who are working at school lunches, the staff who are working at recesses. And we got support from both of those bodies because they know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those common sense things. We all kind of see that young people can thrive when they have these from the side of the parents and right. from the side of the teachers. So we did have support from those groups as we went forward with this. And it's more about turning our attention to how can we really make this cultural norm that we want, that everybody can agree makes sense, a reality. What will that take? And we saw the first step of that as being we need a clear policy yeah. that says this is what our standards are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nowhere okay. was it written down, you should have this much recess. Nowhere was it written down, you have a right to bathroom breaks or water. Nowhere was it written down, you cannot have a silent lunch. And these are the kinds of things we want at the policy level so that now we can go to our schools and say, this is what you deserve. And this is how we can make sure that we're upholding what we've said in our policy.
Well, the things that Lift Every Voice has been advocating for, I think, are pretty reasonable. Did you receive any pushback from the district or anyone while advocating for this?
We didn't receive pushback, but it's the kind of thing where there's many priorities.
Yes.
So our role was to say, when we are organized as parents, we can win on the priorities that we are setting. We had so many meetings with constituents, stakeholders all over the city. We were talking to people inside the school district who are on staff there, administrators, school board members about their role. We were talking to city council members to make sure that we had the support from the city. We actually had 12, we called them joy defenders, city council members sign on to our campaign and say, we support this. We had a city council hearing to show what the kinds of issues were that we were facing. We did a lot of phone banking to talk to many parents.
Yeah.
We had 18 months of really strong, powerful, unstoppable, consistent attention bringing to this issue. Because otherwise, the school district can kind of say, well, we're working on this. We're working on this. Sorry, we can't get to it. And we were able to say, this is a priority. And as you might have seen in the press conference that we had, Superintendent Watlington did say we should have done this a long time ago.
Yeah.
So
yes.
It's the kind of thing where it is a common sense, but still you need a lot of organizing to bring something like that forward.
And not taking no or changes in language is that you have to keep fighting. There have been some days of feeling a bit defeated.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had that day, you turn around and come right back to city council, to a board of education meeting to say, we still support this campaign and we are still fighting for joy in school for all of our children, even if there's some hiccups along the way.
Wow. Yeah. 18 months, though. I mean, I could just imagine the feeling of wanting to just throw your hands up and say, forget it. This is too much. These are too many meetings, too many phone calls. We're not a priority. Just let it go. But you didn't.
Exactly. I remember, you know, we brought a lot of joy. That's one of the fun things for me being part of this organization is it feels joyful organizing together. From the very first kickoff of the campaign where we had an ice cream truck outside the school district, we were handing out ice cream to school district officials and to anybody walking down the street talking about joy, to being at city council meetings with purple pom-poms, waving them around, to supporting each other as parents and kind of hearing each other's stories and building in these ways that really allowed us to have fun along the way, in addition to having those very tough moments where it didn't seem like it was going anywhere and we were kind of losing our energy and momentum.
Yeah.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
Well, tell me some stories. I want to hear what the kids were saying. What were the kids saying when they saw, you know, a group of parents advocating and fighting for them? Since the changes are coming around and they see this victory, what are some of the things that they're saying? What are the kids saying?
I can speak one to seeing the joy on the children's faces, like especially at the recent press conference. Mm-hmm. And they are almost always at like a board of education meeting or city council, because this is who we are fighting for, and they have a voice in that as well. I mean, I can say that my daughter does not like a silent lunch, so saying that this is guaranteed is very exciting for her, who is a talker. But knowing that as a 9-year-old, this is very important for their growth, development, for building friendships, to have this time to kind of let loose and reset, or to have this to see the care from their parents to keep going, to keep pushing, to fighting for this policy change is something that you want to leave, not just with my own children, but with other children as well, that their parents did not give up and neither will they. Yeah.
Silent lunch. So literally kids would be in the cafeteria not being permitted to talk while they eat lunch. They can't socialize. As a form of punishment. That's what was going on?
Sometimes it was punishment. Sometimes it was, we want to make sure the children eat.
Yes.
And if they're talking,
they're
not going to have enough time to eat.
Yes.
Or sometimes it was, we just need to make sure it's a calm environment. So that's where we're thinking there have to be other ways to help our children make sure they get to both socialize and eat their food. We did advocate for having enough time for lunch, having enough time for seated lunch.
Yes.
So you're not just standing in a long line and then suddenly getting to your table and not having enough time to eat. And having enough staff around to be able to engage children and talk to them and monitor the potential food fight without saying we have to then mean everybody can't talk to each other.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, you know, you have the solution to the problem, but how do you deal with the problem now that you're going to have the bathroom breaks and people can talk during lunch? But I know there are probably still some concerns of, oh, but there this might happen, or, you know, they might be going to the bathroom too much. What's happening internally in schools to find alternative ways to deal with these issues? How are the teachers handling it, or how are they expected to handle things in schools?
Well, one thing that was really exciting to me, actually, just this morning at drop-off, I spoke to the principal at my school, and she had just been briefed on this policy. Mm-hmm. So the principals have already started hearing about this. She approached me because part of the policy is having a wellness council, so people at the school level who are going to be thinking about wellness. And she already had ideas. What do we need to be thinking about? For our particular case, she was thinking we need a kitchen. We have this very not great quality school lunch food. So she was kind of running with the idea and bringing a lot of creativity to it. And I think having that kind of setup, now it's both the hard work and the exciting work, which is you have the policy. How do you implement it well? So there's a little bit we have to have conversations. We have a great ally at the district now who is thinking about this and is charged with helping us implement it. We're going to be doing Know Your Rights kind of work outside of schools to make sure parents know these victories and what we win. And then we have this structure, this wellness council built in so that people can be doing some of the brainstorming that needs to happen to answer what you're posing, which is if we can't turn to these practices, what are the practices that are going to replace them? Right. And helping teachers and school staff think through that.
I think parents knowing their rights and understanding the wellness policy helps to lead the conversation with the teachers, with their principals. My daughter comes from a school where we are, the principal and the staff administration are very engaged, but being able to, as a parent, talk with them about what this means for their child and every child and lead that conversation because they're now aware is important. So just like the canvassing got me to join, I think the canvassing to parents and to families is very important in leading this change and this, and we all expect that change takes some time to change how you operate or do things. But again, you don't stop fighting.
Okay, well, the revised policy officially guarantees reasonable bathroom breaks for students and prohibits school staff from disciplining students by taking away drinking water and bathroom breaks. And it also requires that elementary students be given movement breaks for every 90 minutes of seat time. So congratulations on winning that. As you talk more about your Know Your Rights campaign, how do you hold the schools accountable? How do you make sure that they're actually, you know, in every case, you know, putting these measures in place?
We see our role as parents. We are the experts of our children's lives, and we can raise issues and we can bring them forward. And we do believe in and have confidence in our district staff to be able to work on implementation. We have an ally within the school district who is charged with helping implementation, who's going to be thinking about collecting data, who clearly already, you know, started conversations with principals. So all of that is very exciting. But we're going to continue to organize and we're going to continue to build the people who are connected to Lift Every Voice, who can then come to us and say, this is not happening at our school. And we can use the organizing skills we've built to bring attention to that and to try to work with district staff and school staff to address that issue. So we see this as ongoing work. And we have used this campaign to build power, to grow our numbers. Mm-hmm. And we're not stopping. We're going to keep doing that around this issue and other issues that come up.
What would you say are the organizing skills or strategies that you used that were most effective in getting the district to take parents seriously and to not keep this at the bottom of the priority list?
Just not giving up. I mean, that sounds simple, but it's not. And I've learned this a lot from the parents who have been engaged in this for 18 months, is that in collective action, instead of being just chapters, having a citywide campaign is very important because you hear the voices of more and more parents and families. And so that is part of the work, is to engage as much of the community as possible, but to also not have the defeatist attitude that it's okay, there was some pushback or they're not quite getting this, but keep moving forward is very important.
We had to develop a lot of new skills. That was, you know, I have never testified at the school board before. I have never testified at city council. So those were new experiences for me, but I always felt supported in them. We have a practice when somebody is testifying for the people who are from Lift Every Voice in the crowd to stand.
Yes.
And we could really represent our collective power through something as simple as that. We have these wonderful purple shirts. I remember going to city council maybe 6 months in or 7 months in or something, and someone saying, oh, they're the purple shirts. There's Lift Every Voice. So we started to build a presence. Yeah, we started to build kind of an identity as this bigger group.
Yeah.
And that was one of the ways that we showed we're not going anywhere. Yeah. We are going to stick with this priority, and we are going to make sure everybody's talking about it to the point that we can get it across the finish line.
Yeah. Strength in numbers.
Yes.
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 And all voices lifted.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So what has all of this work that you've done thus far kind of taught you about the power of community?
I again, to Sarah's point, this is my first time ever going to a city council meeting, or my first time going to a board of education meeting. And though I did not speak, being there to wave my pom-poms or wear a purple shirt to show support, but it also tells other parents and families that they too have a voice and can be a part of the collective action. Maybe you don't want to speak in front of an audience, or maybe you don't want to canvass, but you can talk to other parents at your school. You can engage with your classroom teacher. There are many ways to be part of community or a collective action without having to think, this is what I have to do. That your voice in many different ways matters, especially when you're fighting for your children and other children. The end goal is for their joy. And so you want to have a voice in that at the best way you can.
So what is on the horizon for Lift Every Voice? Are there some issues that you guys are looking at that you're going to be getting into in the future?
They're coming.
Yeah, we are going to be announcing a new campaign shortly. It's going to be an extension of our joy work, but we're going to continue pushing that forward. And we've been working on what that is and developing plans for that. I think we're coming to that with a lot of energy and a lot of sense of empowerment from the work that we've already been doing. Mm-hmm. And we can't wait to keep going.
Wow. So people can volunteer, of course, and get involved. It's still growing, I'm assuming.
Yes, they can still volunteer, still get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We are a membership organization, so we are looking to grow. We want to be as big as possible. We want to have parents from all over the district join us. I love that line of our mission. We're united across class, race, and neighborhood, and we're really trying to grow a powerful parent organizing group that can transform public schools.
Yeah, I think you're there. You're there. So how can people learn more and get involved? Where can they go?
We have a wonderful website, lifteveryvoicephilly.org. And we also have some great organizers who would love to be in touch with any parents who are interested. So if you can join us that way, we have a social media presence. Mm-hmm. And we would love to get connected to you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Marissa Amos and Sarah Burgess of Lift Every Voice Philly, you guys are a powerful movement. Congratulations on the wins, and continue to advocate for the kids. It's just so important. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to be here with you.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly. From KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
Welcome back to Bridging Philly. In honor of Women's History Month, Sharaday Howard is in West Philly visiting a new cafe run by two women, one from India, the other from Philly. Chai Nashta Cafe is not just serving up Indian chai. The cafe doubles as a community hub with the goal of healing the community inside and out. Let's get the latest from this week's Shara in the City.
This week on Sharon the City, we are in West Philly on Baltimore Avenue, where a friend has been telling me to hit this spot. It's called Chai Nashta Indian Cafe, where you can get the best chai, some snacks, check out their menu, and then you can also hang in there with the community and really be part of the neighborhood. So we're going to go check in with Sasha and Britt, who run the space, combining two worlds, India and America, in their own special way. And of course, we had to give a shout out. It's Women's History Month, so we're going to talk to these two women who are really making a difference in their neighborhood. Let's roll.
Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, I'm Sasha. Welcome to Chai Nashta.
This place, oh my gosh, from color to color and more color. You guys didn't hold back.
No, we did not. We did not hold back because this place is about feeling warmth and feeling happy and joy. That's why it's so much color.
You can feel it. Personality plus.
Yes.
Now, I know it's in the name, right? It's baked in.
Yes. So Chai Nashta is chai and snacks, but it's basically the time of day where you decompress, hold a cup of chai and chat and get to know your friends and just relax a little bit. This is your like casual hangout spot where you can come after work or like your day and just be like, oh, I'm transported to another place.
It's so West Philly positive.
Yes, it really is. And we really need something like that. So we're open in the evenings, and that was the goal, to be open a little bit later so people had a place to go. It's just me and my partner who are running this. So we're doing Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
And you said chai nashta. So the nash is in the nashta. So those are where the snacks come in,
yes,
right?
Yes. So we have like light bites, things you won't usually get in an Indian restaurant. So this is more of an Indian cafe vibe. We have some delicious food.
Food me up. I mean, I want to see this menu. Let's do this.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so I'm looking around, and who did this mural?
So I have a really close friend who is a queer Indo-Caribbean artist, and she made this beautiful mural to depict a little love story between Philly and Delhi, which is where I'm from. So I love West Philly, and it's my home now, and I have so much respect and love and care for it. So, you know, just bringing back the things I love about my home originally, yeah, and my new home. Like, you can see Clark Park over there.
Oh, the whole vibe is, yeah, here. The West Philly vibe and then the Delhi vibe. I mean, hey.
Indian cultural vibe also really is. It's all about feeding people and loving them through food. So bringing that in. We have a limited menu, but we're adding things as we go. And we have a butter chicken panini, which is really delicious. People love it. I've heard people say, oh my God, I dream about this sandwich.
Oh yeah, and you can add a little bell pepper.
Yes, it gives it a little crunch. Then the Bombay veg panini is like this delicious spiced potato filling with crunchy fresh vegetables and green chutney, and it really like ties everything together. So we have vegan friendly options. We also want to have other more gluten friendly options, and hopefully once we have enough money we can also add celiac friendly, because I feel like there's not enough spots for them.
Well said. And then you have the drinks. Okay, let's hit it.
Yes, so the drinks honestly cover all bases. So we have the masala chai, which is at the moment like our special spice mix and Indian tea leaves brewed together. That is like your low caffeinated option. It really helps you stop in, because every time you hold a cup of chai, and this is what it was like for me in India, which was like you have to take a second to be like, what are all the things in there? There's so many like feelings and like spices you can smell. So you'd have to take a second. And the turmeric milk is really, really delicious. It's healing and nourishing. We add fresh saffron to it.
And that's hard to find.
That is hard to find. And we do everything fresh here. We brew each cup individually, and it takes a couple of minutes for each cup. So
customize cups, man.
Yes, we can actually customize your cup, and you can be like, hey, actually I don't like any cinnamon, so we don't have to add it.
We'll say, oh, just spices. Like, what does that mean? Everybody has their special little something something.
Our special current spice blend for our go-to masala chai is cinnamon, cardamom, ginger, a little bit of black pepper.
A little bit.
Yes. And a lot of people are like, they don't even notice it. But sometimes someone with a super palate is like, wow, that has some black pepper in it. I can sense it.
Challenge for all those people with the super palates out there. Can you taste it?
Yes. And then the special thing about this is that we sweeten it with jaggery syrup, which is actually the least processed version of sugar. Gives it a little bit of a molassesy taste to it.
A little McJagger in there.
Yes. That's actually really good. Maybe we should use that. That's
pretty funny.
It's yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it.
Oh, thank you. And then we have this really delicious masala lemonade in India. Our limes are like a mix between lemon and lime. So we actually use lemon and lime for our masala lemonade. We put mint and ginger. The spice blend is basically more tangier spices. So there's like green mango powder, like pomegranate powder. So things like that.
Everything you're doing here is to make sure people have a healthy, wealthy experience.
Honestly, that's really true. So like, I feel like with Indian food, anything and everything we eat, there's something behind it for it, like helping you get through your day a little bit better. Either it's hydration.
There's a purpose to the party.
Yes, yes. There's some nourishment always involved.
But really at the root of this, it's community, right? Because this is about you and your partner making sure a dream comes true, not just for you guys, but you're bringing everybody along for the ride.
That's true. You know, my partner's from here, so I got to come to the US, moved to India to be with me. And then once we moved here, I fell in love with West Philly. It felt like another Delhi to me. There's some really beautiful, wonderful humans here.
That hive vibe.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's talk to Britt. Like, where's Britt? Hey, Britt.
Hi.
What you doing back there?
I am prepping for the paninis.
Intro, Britt.
We've been in West Philly a while, and it's just such a beautiful place and a beautiful community, and giving back and like kind of creating that space.
So the goal is to create connections and friendships and in love and in community. So right now, I know we have all the apps, but it just makes things so hard. It takes away from that like connection that you feel with someone. What we want is to have like a calendar that's running where we do different types of events, and we give out the space to different groups, and they need a space to meet every day.
And speaking of new friends, that's when I met Seema. She considers herself a regular. All right, Seema. Hey, girl. Hey.
I love Sasha and Britt. This is one of my favorite spots to be in West Philly. I love the environment. And I love chai more than anything else. I'm also eating these cookies over here. Both of them are Indian sweets.
Oh, so what part are you from?
I'm from Punjab. And so they remind me of home.
A little nostalgia, Nashta.
That's the goal.
So what is chai, actually?
Chai tea lattes are basically the Americanized version of chai.
Right.
So we are giving you the OG, which is basically we use fresh spices, milk, and water, and black tea. That is your basic. Okay. And then what you do is you elevate it by adding the spices that you enjoy. So aromatics go in to give you whatever feeling that you want to sense that day. So people actually make their chai based on how they're feeling. So sometimes they'll be like, I feel like a cardamom ginger only today, or I want to do cinnamon and black pepper.
Mood ring tea.
Yeah. And sometimes you have a sore throat, so you're like, I want to add extra black pepper today, because it like helps really soothe you.
I'm feeling extra black today. Let's
extra
do this.
Black pepper.
Yeah, I want some extra black pepper.
Wow. Okay. Well.
I lied.
It's not
I chickened out that fast.
Well, I'll put extra. We'll put like low extra.
So you got everything laid out. Let's do it.
We have everything laid out.
It was time to learn really how to make an authentic chai from scratch. What?
Yes.
Right. So black tea, which is traditionally used like in India, we add a little bit of coarsely ground cardamom to it. Just to kind of bring out the cardamom.
Right. It's like mixing potions.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a ginger puree. Do it every day.
Right. We're getting secrets, folks. Write it down.
You are getting secrets.
And to avoid telling the whole secret, don't be greedy. We're fast forwarding to the nearly finished product. It looks amazing. It smells fantastic. Lotions and potions.
Right.
This.
And Sim Sima. Who's got the keys to Mabima?
And we're gonna steam it. It actually does this maybe 4 times.
Excuse me. And the sounds means it's working, guys.
And then we have our tea.
It's beautiful. It's like this amber color.
That's it. And we're gonna give it with a couple of biscuits.
Yeah, can I taste it right here? Here we go. Here we go. And the moment of truth. It's creamy. It has accents. I'm still tasting them. It's phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
So guys, if you want to do something special for yourself with the community today, support a really cool spot out in West Philly. It's called
Chai Nashta.
Chai Nashta.
Let's go. Get it, Philly.
Thank you for joining us. Bridging Philly is brought to you by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org. Follow me on Blue Sky at Raquel on Air. You can also follow Shara Day Howard on Blue Sky at Shara Day on Air. For Shara Day Howard and our producer, Sabrina Boyd-Circa, I'm Raquel Williams. Be well.